For the sake of understanding, can you tell me how reserves work and under what scenario that would be sort of tapped into?
You know, a lot of people say, well, you have these big reserves, just you use that. We've got a $12.8 million budget imbalance based on increased cost, priorities, and revenues coming in. Just go to reserves, take the $12.8 million, whatever, pop it in, and off you go. We need to remember that reserves are one-time funds. They do not reoccur. They're not magically going to be filled up. Imagine a sink with full of water and you take, you know, 10 cups of water out of it and use it to water the plants. Whatever water have you have left, that's it. Ongoing cost, ongoing revenues is the key thing in terms of a budget. Salaries and ongoing expenditures, those are things that can continue to happen year after year after year. So what you need to do is balance the inflow. It's how much water are you putting into the sink versus how much is going out in expenditures, and making sure that that stays relatively constant. Your pool of reservoirs can be used in an emergency, can be used for a significant one-time cost. If you balance the budget by using reserves, you could probably do it 1 year. You could probably do it 2 years. But then you're going to be in a world of hurt. Organizations that have balanced budgets by using reserves over a multi-year period of time find that that money runs out, that pool runs out, and then there are deeper cuts, deeper ramifications that need to occur. One of the things that Murray State has done an exceptional job with over the past, you know, 7, 8, 9 years is always made sure that it has a balanced budget based on the revenues coming in and the outflows going out. Because of that, our reductions at this particular time are not as deep as some other ones across the country are facing. That is why we do not look to reserves to balance the budget. The reserves, as I mentioned before, can be used for a one-time expenditure. J.H. Richmond Hall is a very good example. The board voted recently to restore J.H. Richmond. We are anticipating that the insurance adjustment will be in the $12.5 million range. We wanted to upgrade the facility a little bit, do maybe some enhancements. And whenever you build something, within 6 months, you go like, oh, I wish we would have done this, make the lobby bigger, which in this case has been the largest discussion point, is that we need a much bigger lobby space, as well as some more gathering space throughout. We can use reserves, in this case, $2 million from the auxiliary housing unit, which is set aside for that very purpose. So it's not going to be an expense that occurs every single year. It's a one-time shot, and that's a very appropriate use of the reserves.
How much is in the reserves?
We have unrestricted reserves in the neighborhood of around $50 million. And again, that's used for multiple things throughout the year. We use it for deferred maintenance and things like that. We're doing some renovations of Blackburn and some other facilities on campus, and that's what those will come in to be used for.
What is the future of the tuition waiver program? You mentioned this in a letter, is getting a lot of feedback about this.
I've had more comments on the word privatization and the tuition waiver. And let me be very clear. We need to review the tuition waiver program at Murray State University. Is it an important benefit to our faculty and staff? Absolutely. It is a very important benefit, and it is one that I do not and will not eliminate, especially in its entirety, for our faculty and staff. It is a mechanism to promote and opportunities for higher education. It is a tremendous benefit to our faculty and staff to have their children come to Murray State, and it is an important benefit. And so we are reviewing the policy. We are not eliminating the policy. What are we looking at? We need to look around some of the edges. Discussion points. Should the tuition waiver be used for the first bachelor's degree? Should it be used for matriculated students to as they progress towards a degree, for example? Right now, it's based on the number of courses. Should it be based on the number of credits? A lot of non-employees are eligible for the waivers. Is that appropriate? And they're available at the same level as a faculty and staff member. Is that appropriate? Part-time workers, again, is that appropriate to have at the same level as a full-time worker? There's a lot of nuances with regards to the tuition waiver program. We will not eliminate the program, but we do need to review the size, and the breadth and scope of the program. Who gets it, how much, and for what for?
The Kentucky Labor Cabinet Secretary, Derek Ramsey, has talked about developing business apprenticeships as a way to develop a skilled workforce. Can you describe some of the ways Murray State might be engaging in this effort?
One of the things that I think Murray State can do a lot more systemically, one of our strategic ideas and agendas, is specifically and especially, as I'll go back to the privatized concept, is how to further the lifelong learning of our community and, you know, our graduates and various others. A lot of organizations, be it a business, be it a nonprofit, be it a civic group, be it a group of individuals, are looking for educational opportunities throughout their lifetime. And how can Murray State fulfill and provide continuing education opportunities, seminars, programs, offer different types of certificates along those lines? You know, for example, you might have an industry that has had significant changes in the safety operations. How do we engage our occupational safety and health program to offer updates to those industry leaders, those industry practitioners on a regular basis and to continue to be recertified? How can we offer various courses for the accounting the accountants in the area so that they can continue to earn their credits and those various type of things? And we do that on a basis throughout the university. But what we need to do is look at is how can we be more strategic, more unified in those approaches, and to be blunt, be a little bit more aggressive. We can do this through not only the campus here in Murray, but through our regional campuses in Madisonville and Hopkinsville and Paducah, et cetera, and really working with local businesses, local industries, local civic organizations, and those type of things to find those opportunities.
Another proposal mentioned in the town hall last week was to raise tuition rates by 3%. This is coupled with a call to increase enrollment. How will Murray State ensure competitiveness?
Well, I think one of the key things that we need to continue to look at is where our tuition rates are in relationship to our peer universities and to who we are competing with. We don't want to overprice. We don't want to have the sticker price so that all of a sudden it shies people away. But at the same time, we need to continue to think about how we balance the budget and what do we convey and what is the appropriate mechanism. We're technically right above Moorhead, $1. At a 3% increase, we would jump above Eastern Kentucky University. We would be ahead of them by roughly $55 or thereabouts per semester, $100 for the year. Is that a substantial difference that would make a difference of one person choosing Eastern Kentucky over Murray State? Most likely not. But it does put us into a very good, solid position. Eastern Kentucky has announced that they're going with a 0% tuition increase this year. But I also know that they've been thinking about asset, what they call an asset preservation fee, that if they implement at the full level that I've heard, they will bounce above us. And so they'll be slightly ahead of us. But to be in that mix, I think, is an important area to be. What we presented at the town hall meeting is based on us increasing 3% and no one else doing anything. I do not know what Moorhead is thinking about. I don't know what Northern Kentucky or Western Kentucky are thinking. U of L and UK are much higher than we are. So again, I think that, you know, we're going to be extremely well priced competitively against our peers. So do I think we're still affordable? Absolutely. Do I think we still provide exceptional value? Absolutely. You know, it's not a huge increase. It's lower than we've done in the past several years. And again, it goes back to us as a community, not just the admissions team, but us as a community, to continually stress the value of a Murray State education, to continue to stress the value of a Murray State degree at a cost of $4,542 a semester, which you will return that once you graduate from Murray State is significantly higher than what that tuition dollar is. So the investment is very, very strong and something that we need to continue to put forward.
There's a distinguished alumni event that's coming up on April 27th.
Yeah, and that, again, I think that as we talk about the value of a Murray State degree, what is the outcome of Murray State? And it's outstanding alumni. And the Distinguished Alumni Awards recipients this year are a wonderful example of the significant opportunities provided at Murray State University. Four individuals have been selected by the Alumni Association. You know, Florence Jones, a nursing alumna from the class of 1975, serving more than 25 years in the healthcare industry. She's broken through so many barriers of gender and race and has an amazing career. She was in the Army Nurse Corps for the United States Army Reserve. Just a tremendous honor to recognize her. Joe Owen, a well-respected lawyer, business owner, real estate developer, CEO of Guardian Health Providers, tremendous supporter of Murray State. He lives in the Nashville area and is known as one of the amazing business leaders in that area. Just, again, an amazing person. He hires a lot of interns, hires a lot of students and graduates from Murray State University. Again, is a phenomenal individual who's provided scholarships. The third recipient is Patricia Somerville. She completed her bachelor's degree in art just in 3 years, a class of 1972. She's attended many other universities, earned academic degrees from them in healthcare, a law degree. She is just an eclectic and a wonderful person. She loves the arts. She really espouses the importance of the liberal arts, the ability to be creative, to have critical thought. She has, again, created many scholarships at Murray State University. And just talking about her career and where it has gone and the opportunities that she has is absolutely just phenomenal. And then the fourth recipient is Tim Miller, the 12th president of Murray State University, a wonderful, wonderful man, professor emeritus, president emeritus from the accounting department. Whenever I talk to an alumnus that went through the accounting department, they always ask how Tim Miller is doing and his wife, Patsy. Just a wonderful, we're giving the award to Tim, but to be honest, it really should be to the both of them. Just amazing individuals. In my relatively short time knowing them, just a true friend, someone that I rely on to confide in, to talk with, to seek advice from, an individual that I just truly, truly enjoy. And it's just a great ambassador for Murray State University. Looking forward to that night, hearing the stories of how Murray State empowered these individuals to go on and do amazing things. We just got done talking about tuition and the value. This is the value of Murray State.